The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews who do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it, and there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold on to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the man's heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for a moment. We are now entering into the book of Mark, and we have been for the last 5 weeks in John 6 to be precise, and we have been wrestling with the idea of Jesus being the bread of life, and we heard it for 5 weeks, and maybe we finally got that message that we have to eat Jesus in a sense. You have to live and incorporate Jesus into your life, into your breath, into your being, in order to be able to understand what it means. Today we move into a whole new set of understandings of Jesus as perceived and as written down by Mark. Mark is a wholly different writer about what Jesus did and who he is. And as you probably remember, I mentioned that the Gospel of Mark is the Reader's Digest of what Jesus' life is like. It's a very short, to the point, concise description of what Jesus did and what he meant in the gospel. Mark begins the Gospel of Mark by saying, "This is the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And then the rest of the story of his gospel is just telling you what happens, what Jesus does, what his miracles are, how he encounters people. And then most of the stuff that he tells us about Jesus, he really leaves to us to determine. And in the end, when he leaves the empty tomb, when Jesus is found after his crucifixion and the empty tomb is left empty, we are to make a decision then, given what we have read and given what we have experienced through the Gospel of Mark. So Mark is giving us the picture of Jesus, but he's leaving decisions up to you, leaving decisions up to me. And the great thing about the Gospel of Mark is that it's written that there's a great secret, the Messiah secret, that is runs through the whole Gospel, and that is, do you believe? Do you understand what Jesus represents? Do you get it? And so Mark is one of those writers that gets to the point. We read right away when Jesus is baptized that God spares the skies. He splits them apart, and he comes and he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There's an immediacy to Mark. There is we say in Spanish, an andale pues, like let's move it right away. And so Mark is trying to get us to get to the core of things. And this is what he's doing today as we read this gospel, as we read this gospel portion of Mark, where the Pharisees come to Jesus and his disciples with other Jews around them. And they want to see, how is it possible that the disciples that are following Jesus are not washing their hands? This is a custom that they had. Not everyone had it. But they had this particular wear custom, and it was a ritual kind of affirmation that they received from the rabbis. And so the idea was, you had to wash your hands, you had to purify yourself before you ate, you purified yourself before you went to the temple. And they're trying to associate the idea of sin with impurity. And what Jesus wants to do in this gospel is separate the two, because purity and non-purity are something that is extinct from being able to worship God. But the Jews brought it in because they wanted the ability to have people who worshiped and went into the temple or ate to be able to wash their hands and be ready. But that was not the determination of whether you were sinful or not. That was not the determination of whether you were good or bad. And they were conflating the two. And what Jesus is trying to do today is separate those two things and point to the area in which we really find that humanity is the source and has the source of its sinfulness. And he points to the very heart. The heart of our man, the heart of women, the heart of nature that we possess within ourselves is where evil resides. And he says, it's not anything that comes into the body. It's not anything that you may eat, anything that you may drink, but it's the things that come out of you, the things that come out of you that profane. And this is where we have the issue that we have to look at today, because where does evil reside? Does it reside in the world? Does it reside in nature? Does it reside in other people? The question is, it really resides within ourselves, and no matter how much you can protect yourself, no matter how much you may armor yourself against this particular enemy, the enemy's within. We are the enemy. We are the soul from which all these things come from. Now, what we do is that we project into the world the things that we think, and we create structures, we create politics, we create ideals, we create religions and cultures and all these things from the inside, and we think they're right. And what we do is we have our enemies, we have our shadows, we have those people that we don't trust, and so we project them onto the world, and they become the realities that we fight. So the idea is that one has to address the very center of the heart in order to understand what the gospel is trying to reach, what the gospel is trying to address. That for all of us, we have to understand what is the soul and what is the heart that we have that is the very origin of evil and how that is to be overcome. Well, let me begin by suggesting that the heart is divided. The heart is divided between things that we're aware of and things that we're not aware of. Carl Gustav Jung, the great psychologist in the 70s, wrote about the shadow side of our psyche, the shadow side of our being, that side of ourselves that we're not familiar with, and that somehow it causes us to resist and have a sense of disunity, a lack of synchronicity within ourselves. We fight with ourselves. And so what we do is then we project that fight and we project that this uncertainty onto the world, and we play it out by how we act on the world, because we're taking care of those things that we don't trust. Did you ever hear the word projection? You know, when you watch a movie, they project something on the screen. The projector does that, and what we do in our minds is we project on the world things that we like and things that we fear, but they come in from our uncertainties. They're within our heart. And so what Jung was saying is that the way that we have to try and overcome this division is to find a way to blend them together, to bring the both sides. And the only side that you can invite is a side that you don't know. And the only way that you can invite that side that you don't know is through love. It's through acceptance. It's through openness. It's not through denial. It's not through obedience. It's not to force someone to deal with that side of life. There's another image that comes to me when I think about when Plato wrote the Republic. He wrote about, he was trying to say, to express to us how the mind works. And so in our mind, we have the desire to do right. In our mind, we have these appetites where we want to do things for our flesh, and we want to be able to do things that we want and desire and lust after. And then there is the will. And so he called the will the charioteer. And he put an image before us to try and understand how that works. There's two horses, the horse of the will and the horse of appetites. And the will is the one that takes the reins and guides it in life. So he was using that image for us to understand that the will is what really controls these two forces together. What Jesus is suggesting today is that the two forces need to work together and to understand each other in holistic understanding, but only through love can you achieve that. Only through love can you bring in the dark side of yourself. Only through love can you allow the space by which that it can enter inside of you and make sense. And the reason by trying to get that other side into your being is that it emphasizes, it synchronizes, it gives you the energy, it gives you the depth. How many, sometimes when you're divided within yourself because you have compassion, but you need energy. You need energy to do something. And sometimes that energy will come up from something that makes you upset. And so that anger and that energy together will work well if you're guided by that sense of compassion. You see, the question here is, how are we divided within ourselves, and how do we address that particular issue? Are we sinful because we look at the world and the world is what we've already created? Who created this world? Who created the structures? Who created culture? Who created ideology? Who created the politics? Who created all of this war mentality? This comes from us. It comes from deep within our hearts because we take issue with other people because we are not content with what they're doing because we're also not content with ourselves. And Jesus is at the root of this is the lack of unity within the heart. So it is the heart in which all of these things come from. And so Jesus suggests that, first of all, your heart and what you do are two different things, right? Because they tried to conflate those things. The Pharisees try to conflate your washing hands with your being sinful. And Jesus says, no, that's not the case. You can forget to wash your hands and you're still a good person. Or you can wash your hands and you're still a terrible person. But the idea is that the person is where the center of all things come. And this is what we have to focus. Because within our hearts, and you know it better than me, you find yourself struggling with yourselves. You find yourself with multiple feelings. You find yourself being happy and angry. You find yourself being trusting and distrusting at the same time. You look at somebody and you want to know them and you don't want to know them at the same time. These feelings are all part of who we are. And the lack of unity is why we struggle with ourselves in the world. And to come into the grace of God and to be able to experience the love of God is to be able to bring back unity in the heart, in the self. Do you remember in the 70s, the big psychologist Maslow, Joshua Maslow, he wrote a book called the Pillars of Being or something like that. He suggested in that writing that if you get a person who is not well and you feed them, you clothe them, you give them a job, you do all these things, that person slowly becomes integrated. That person becomes better able to then to think better thoughts. He's able to think about value. He's able to think about ethics, things about other people because his life is well. And so in a sense, religion has to address that sense of disunity within ourselves. We may be religious, we may be very righteous, but we are disunified within ourselves. And this is why Jesus is cutting to the core in this gospel. That's why Mark is cutting to the issue. Where is sin? It is in you. It is in me. Why is sin? Because we don't understand. Because we're afraid. And the idea of religion, the idea of Jesus' spirit is to help us to feel God's presence even in our unknowing, even in our self-division. This is why he offers us a sense of space within ourselves. You know, it's what the whole idea of trying to embrace the world through our soul and heart is why it's so hard to grasp, because we're so unsure. You know that a lot of the discomfort in the world, a lot of the frustration and anger is because we're worried, we're afraid. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid of being taken advantage of. We're afraid of someone doing something to us. So we're so guarded. We're so protected. And that protection, that guard, keeps us away from embracing the very thing that will make us better, that will make us fuller, that will make us more grounded in our being. You see how it works? You know, some people have loved you in your life, and you haven't felt worthy of it, or you push it away, and yet that is the very love that you've desired all your life. And this is what we do with the gospel. This is what we do with Jesus. He comes to us, and he offers himself completely to us to embrace both the good and the bad within us. But then we make the determination, no, we're not good enough, we're not ready enough, we're not this or that, and we push it away. How many times have you pushed love away in your life? And you struggle to get it back. How many times have you yearned to have someone understand you? To say to you, I know what you mean. I really get you. We long for that. And this is what he's offering us in our heart so that we can stop the battle within. And then within that creative tension that we now have in trust, that we are in relationship with God, we can move into the world and love the world. And not doubt it so much, not hate it so much, not make it an object so much, but be able to see it as an extension of God's own creation, God's own presence and being, that we can see it as part of who we are. We're not separate from anything. The world is not our enemy. You're not my enemy. It's what I feel inside that makes the world so alienated. And we've got to overcome that fear, that sense of disloyalty, that sense of distrust. And so Jesus says, it's the heart that one must address, and it's what comes out of the heart that creates all the problems in the world. So how do you overcome that? How do you overcome that division? You know better than I do that when, let's say when you were small and you did something you weren't sure of and your mom or your dad were around and they said, Johnny, it's okay. I understand. Come on, it's okay. I can see what you're trying to do. Even though you felt absolutely guilty, even though you felt as though you were worthy of the worst punishment, your mother or father were able to see that part of you that is trying to figure it out. Which one of us is perfect in this life? Which one of us knows how to live perfectly? None of us do. Even when you're 94, 5, 100, we still struggle with a sense of insecurity within our hearts. And we judge people according to how we interpret them. But the issue begins and ends with us. Imagine a person who's perfectly content, recognizing within their soul that they are a loved child of God, that they have received God's forgiveness, that they know who they are. To know who you are doesn't mean that you broadcast it or that you're arrogant, but it's that you have a sense of patience, a sense of space, a tranquility within yourself, ability to have compassion on other people. And this is what Jesus is trying to get at today. He's trying to get us to see that we've got to concentrate in the heart. And once you get the heart right, we may get the world right. And we may get others right. And we may get other people right. But we've got to look inside and say, what caused me to divide myself against myself? What is causing me to feel insecure, to be angry, to be hateful? And we know we're capable of those things. Let's be honest, man. That line of evil runs right through us. It's not like we're excluded from that. Because where there's real love, there can be real dangerous hate. But when there's unity, there's real power. There's real authenticity. There's real presence. There's real living. And this is where we miss it. We're too afraid to understand ourselves and bring ourselves into the presence of God and allow God to heal us and make us whole. This is the whole point of the gospel, to make us whole. And to make us whole means you balance the two sides, the good and the dark, the light and the dark. You know, we have those sides. We come from millions of years of history. We have so many forces within us. We have so many instincts that we have carried from our ancestors that we don't understand. But if we had the right attitude, we can embrace and it can help us feel who and better about who we are. That's the challenge today. And I think Christianity is about addressing that very core of the evil in the world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son that who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, life begins when you accept the fact that you are accepted and loved. No matter what you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. When I worked in the prisons, that was sometimes the most powerful thing an inmate wanted to hear. You're loved. No matter what you did, God still loves you. Because God sees beyond your deeds. He sees your heart. And he sees there's the problem. There's where he wants to reside. He wants to go right into that heart and let you know that he's there with you, that he loves you. And in doing that, you feel finally validated in your being. And then you can validate other people. That's the gospel, I think, for today. It's within us. We can change the world. We can bring beauty to the world, love to the world, peace to the world, hope to the world. But we've got to feel it within ourselves. It's not an abstract principle. It has to be the authentic reality that you speak and live, and then you express in the world. That is true witness to the gospel of Jesus. Amen.